When you're writing, how do you know if you've written a poem or a song?
I don't exactly, except sometimes I know what I'm working on. I'm trying to write a song or I'm trying to write a poem, but I've seen one turn into the other, you know, a few times. In fact, I've got a new song that started out just in as a poem, I guess, you know, just writing lines down, didn't have an instrument in my hand or anything. I read it back a few days later, and I liked a part of it, and then I was pushing it into a song, you know. So it's hard, I don't have a real method about some of those things, like a hardcore method, you know. I'm just trying to keep a flow going and see which way it flows, I guess.
If you could speak for a moment about the impact of James Agee on your life, career, and writing, it's probably immeasurable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pretty strange trip, me and old Agee going back. A big thing there is, well, I was born in the same neighborhood he was, in Knoxville. So I'm always tied into him in some ways. But then when I was in, I think, the fourth grade or whatever, Hollywood came to Knoxville to make a film, the All the Way Home film, from his Pulitzer Prize-winning book, A Death in the Family. And that was filmed in the Fort Sanders area and there at the L&N station in Knoxville, a lot of it, and which are in the book. I mean, the setting of the book is located there as well. And my dad worked for the L&N Railroad, you know, for nearly 40 years. And as a kid, I remember him coming home telling me about what they were doing each day. You know, if he saw the film crew working and the little boy, I think it's Thomas Kearney, played little Rufus, played little Agee, and putting a penny on the railroad track or something like that, and his dad and them dressed in their early 20th century clothes and stuff like that. And we went to the premiere, which was in Knoxville, which I can barely remember. I was just a kid. But I say that just, he was always there for me. I mean, somebody was always talking about him. He was the guy or whatever, you know. He was an artist. I kind of thought of him as some professor type or something. I didn't know what exactly. But later, you know, when I was in high school, I read A Death in the Family, and then I'd be hanging out with the older guys, the older artists, you know, trying to, you know, soak up whatever I could. And I noticed how they would talk about James Agee with a certain kind of reverence or something, you know. And so that stuck in my mind a little bit. And I got more familiar with him, and I would read something by him, and I'd be drawn in a little bit more. So it was a gradual thing, you know. And then I'd be in some other city, like in New York or something, and I'd hear these people talking, and they would mention Agee's name and the way they talked about him. And so, I just kept finding out more about him, and each time I was going to set him down or whatever, there'd be some new revelation or some new work. You know, he died when he was 45 years old, and it's like that's the last, no more output from him, and yet new things started coming in a lot. And so that was part of it. I'm just saying he was always there. But the other thing is his approach to art in general. You know, I wrote that song, Take That Ride. And the first verse is, I don't want to die like James Agee in the back of some taxi on the run. So much time wasted, the feast of life just tasted, then it's gone. But the life that he was living and the gift that he was giving were all one. The bad comes with the good, the madness and love, it's all or none. And that's part of his story, that's his thing. And so if you're an artist and you know, every artist has to follow different artistic heroes. You know, you learn from them, they clue you in, whether it's the romance of that or just the study of it. You know, and Agee runs real deep in that regard, and what he was shooting for and what he did. And so he's the one that kind of stuck with me for a while, I guess. That's it, sort of.
Well, do you think he was consumed by his art or just life in general?
Well, he lived a hard life, you know. A drinker, as John Huston, the filmmaker, said, you know, "Oh, Jim was a bottle a day man," and you know, and he was a chain smoker pretty much, and all those things that ended his life, you know, and you don't want to romance that stuff, you know, you want to learn from that. So he was consumed by life in a way, but he was taking his art right to the edge and diving off with it. He was trying to make art life as much as possible, you know, and he evolved in his art in that attempt as it went from Let Us Now Praise Famous Men all the way to A Death in the Family and so forth. So, you know, it was a combination of those things with him, I'd say.
What's on your plate now? Are you working on more material, songs, poems, or are you going to do another play?
I have a couple of plays that are in the works, sort of. I mean, not written, but I'm working on. But mainly, I want to put out a new record. I'm also working on a couple of books, one in particular that I'm really into. That's more of a prose book, prose/poetry. I don't know what it is, but I'm very much into that. But I want to get back to a record of new material. That's always what I'm pushing for first, I think. But I have this other project, like a lost weekend back in February of 2008, where I went in the studio in Knoxville with Phil Pollard and the Band of Humans. And we had a wild weekend. He wanted to produce a couple of my songs, and I said, okay, we had some free studio time. We went in and produced four songs of mine. And there's about three instrumentals on there as well. And we've just decided here in the last few weeks, starting a Kickstarter campaign, some other folks are jumping in to do that, to make an EP of that. It's about 26, 27 minutes of music. So it'd be I think National Skyline was about 28 minutes or something. So it's a long EP, I guess. But so that's in the works as well. That's something that was done back when. Some of my favorite songs, including That's How Every Empire Falls, there's a version we did of that, and a song called Father Fisheye, which is sort of about Allen Ginsberg. And Buddha in European Clothes, which is a song about Dylan, really. And Regarding Emily, which is a song about a girl named Emily. But there you go, you know.
Tell me how it feels to have one of your songs recorded by John Prine.
Well, that's, as John Prine once said to me regarding a show that he did in Washington, D.C., where Ted Kooser, the poet laureate at the time, invited him up. I had sort of connected them together, and he invited him up to do a thing there in a room and record it and talk and everything. He said, that's a high water mark for me, you know. And working with John Prine in general, but to have him cover a song of mine, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. There's a man that doesn't need to cover anybody's songs. And I felt really honored, you know. I mean, working with him has always been that's the best, you know. He picked me out of a bunch of them, and I'm always grateful and appreciative of that.
So one more quick question. Why Knoxville? You still stay in Knoxville. What does it do for you to be in Knoxville?
Well, I don't know exactly. I mean, it's a combination of things. It's home. It's been home. I have a sort of a romantic attachment to certain parts of the town, the city, and I really like being there. But it's also cheap to live there, and there's a lot of inspiring artists there, both literary and musical. And I've known a number of them and always meeting others. And so it's a place I can come back to and sort of restore myself. I do like to get out other places, you know, and I've thought about, you know, I've played shows in Paris and Amsterdam and San Francisco and New York and all over. And I've spent time in those places and absorbed a lot and love it, you know. But somehow or another, I was always drawn back. You know, I've got deep roots there, and it's part of who I am, and I can't explain it beyond that, you know. Maybe I'll move next year or something.